Genesis chapter 37. Just recently preached through this passage on Sunday nights, but Lord led us here for this morning in Genesis chapter 37. In this passage, Joseph is sent by Jacob to check on his brothers, and brothers had said that they were going to watch the sheep there in Shechem, and so Jacob sends Joseph to check on the brothers there in Shechem. But when he gets to Shechem, they're not there, and he's not sure where they are. He's looking around, and just want to read a couple verses here. Genesis 37, verse number 14, and we'll read 14 and 15, then we'll pray and look at the message this morning. It says, "And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou?" I want to preach this morning on that question. What seekest thou? I want us to think about that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word this morning. I pray that, Lord, as the psalmist said, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Father, just please, Lord, speak to us. I pray that we'd have listening ears. I thank you for the word of God that never returns void. I pray you'd help me. I know you gave me this message, and now, Lord, I know how you spoke to me. I just pray you'd be a blessing to someone else. Father, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray they'd be saved today. Lord, anyone, Lord, that finds himself in these shoes, they're wondering. I pray that, Lord, they'd realize what they're seeking today. Lord, I love you, and again, just be with the message. In your name I pray. Amen. We got to this point there in verse number 15 where Joseph is looking around, and the Bible says that a certain man came across his way. Now, Joseph he's doing what, you know, should be doing. And he comes and he's obviously looking for the brothers. It was obvious to this certain man that Joseph was looking for something. Probably in the background, he's standing there watching, and Joseph is probably maybe hollering out or wondering about. You know, we've all been there. Usually every time I ever go into Home Depot, I have that look on my face, right? Because I know nothing about what I'm looking for, right? And about five different people say, "Can I help you?" All right, because they know my face tells it all. I'm looking for something, but I have no idea where it's at. All right, and so, you know, Joseph is wandering around Shechem, and this certain man comes, and he says, "What seekest thou?" You could tell he's wondering. What are you looking for? Now, Joseph obviously shares the fact that he's looking for his brothers, and this certain man knew and pointed him in the right direction. I believe that God had that certain man at that certain place at that certain time for a certain time as that. I look back when I first thought about this passage and the Lord led me here that there's been quite a few certain men in my life. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but God has ordained my path to cross with certain people that really helped me out and pointing me in the right direction. And I'm thankful for those people in my life. But this certain man says, "What seekest thou?" And I want to preach on that question this morning. What seekest thou? What are you seeking? Let's put it this way. Why are you here? Why do people go to church? Why do people turn to God? Why do people try religion? Several years ago, there was a man who came and visited our church and told me he was interested in church and the Lord, and he sat through services for a few weeks, and then he walked the aisle one Sunday morning. I believe Brother Slee met him at the altar, and he said, "I want to go to heaven and do what has been preached about," and he made a profession of faith that morning. Problem was, in about 3 months, he turned away from everything and quit. and hasn't been back since. And several of us have gone to his house and spoken to this person, and I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "I came because I wanted to give God a test drive." And I'm glad he was seeking for answers. But you don't come to God giving God a test drive. He's either God or he's not. He's either your Savior, and the only way you could ever go to heaven. It's not, you see, a lot of people try out religion for a lot of different reasons. A lot of people go to church for a lot of different reasons. And so I just ask you, as God asked me this week in preparing for this message, and I sat and answered that question, I hope you will too. What seekest thou? Why are you here? Let's consider the three things we see in this verse. Number one, there's a certain man. A certain man. God places those people in our life. I'm thankful for the parents that God gave me. I'm thankful for all the instruction that I have been given. I'm thankful for my peers that I've grown up with and I serve the Lord with now. I'm thankful for the pastors that God gave me and to help me and to show me and to befriend me still to this day. I'm thankful for this is the people, my neighbors, my coworkers, and the people that God has put in my life. You see, but God places people in our life, certain men, all the time, so that our paths will cross at just the right times to make us think, to get us maybe turned a different direction. You know, I got saved, and my dad led me to the Lord, and it was on a Tuesday night. And I know on that Monday night, the night before, we were, my dad was preaching a service. Just a special service, I guess, but it was in, I know where it was at. It was in Trotwood, Ohio. And he was preaching in this little church, and he preached. I remember he preached on the rapture. And I remember God convicting my heart. I knew I was lost. And praise the Lord, I responded to that, got saved. And the Lord used, and you know, I could have been anywhere on that Monday night, but I'm glad that God put me in a certain church at a certain time under a certain preaching so that I would hear a certain message. I'm thankful for those, and I could talk to you all morning about those certain times. Certain people at just the right certain time. You know, when I was first starting serving in the ministry, we were down at camp, and you know, God set me I talked to this guy. He said, "Let's go." And we sat in a truck. I'll never forget it. Anyone that's been down to Camp Victory, he's sitting over there on top looking down on the fields and everything. And we sat there, turned on the air conditioning because it was so hot. And we sat in his truck, and he sat there, and he began to teach me about how to reach children and how to have a burden for kids. He became a very dear friend for quite a while. And I listened to him, and that certain man helped me to be able to minister to the children, which I love, and I still do today, to school and things. I just want you to stop and think this morning real quick before we get to the real crux of this message about those certain people in your life. Maybe a grandpa that or a grandma that brought you to church week after week. Maybe someone you met at work that asked you. I always love going over to Grant's Creek Independent Baptist Church over in Indiana. There's a man there, Brother Fish. He's a nice guy. Brother Fish is a really nice guy. And he's been at that church for years. He leads their singing, always has a smile on his face. He's retired now. He worked for UPS and for years, retired from there. And there was a certain driver at UPS that he kept witnessing to. We all know her today as Tammy. She's married to Mike Marshall out in Colorado. Going to be planting churches. Brother Fish was a certain man at a certain place who was used by God to help Tammy go a certain direction. Don't you have those in your life? Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Praise God for those certain people. I want you to stop this morning, because that's what I did this week, and thank God for those people who God used at a certain time. Maybe no one else even knows them. And we don't know who this guy was, but God does. And he was used of God. So a certain man, but then I want you to consider number two, a confused man. A confused man. It says there a certain man found him, and behold, Joseph, he was wandering in the field. He was wandering. There are so many people today that are wandering in this world. So many people that don't have direction. So many people, as the book of Jude talks about, I can read this to you real quick. In Jude, pick any chapter you want to, and I will read verse 12 and 13. But in the book of Jude, it says there are these types of people are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. There's all kinds of people out there that are, sadly, they're just wandering. They're just getting through life. And you know what? Without God, we're all the same way. Without God, we're all extremely selfish people. Without God, we just live for ourselves and whatever we can to make us happy. Without God, we become self-centered, self-pleasing, and in the end, self-destructive. We just live our lives trying to do what we want to do, and we wander about through life without any real direction, without any really real duty in life, without any destination. We just go house to house. We just live our lives from job to job. Unfortunately, many people go from church to church. They go just wondering about, just trying to find life. What is it all about? And there's so many people that are just missing. You see, there is no life without God. There is a path that you can take, but it's one that is described. I wrote down three words. Number one, lost. That's what Jesus said. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, you're lost when you don't know where you're going. I'm thankful today. I hope you can say the same thing, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing to know. Amen. If you don't know that today, the Bible describes you as being lost. You see, we were created by God, but you've gone your own path. Our sins have separated us. The way of man, it's broad and it's there, but it leads to destruction every time. And unfortunately, there are many people that are just living this world that are lost. I have a pretty good sense of direction normally. I don't get lost often. But it is a terrible feeling to be lost. Something that a lot of people won't ever know because phones now, right? Just type it in. We get to where we need to go, right? And no problems today. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day. You know, we on our honeymoon, we traveled up north towards Mansfield. Then we went east and went to Pennsylvania, went all the way to Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then we made our way back through Amish country and back here without a phone and without a GPS. I don't know how we did it. I'm serious. I have no idea. The thought of doing it now is frightening. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. You know, I remember the first time I was lost, it was terrible, and I've told you this before. We were grocery shopping with my mom, and we were at Cubs Food Market. Anyone ever been to a Cubs Food Market? All right, me and my mom. Anybody else? Somebody? Yeah, James, thank you. All right. So we're at, Rachel was, a Jane, we're at Cubs Food Market right there near the Dayton Mall. It was, sorry, it's gone now. But we were there, and they was like a warehouse. They had groceries like and stuff, pallets all the way to the ceiling. But mom liked shop there, so we went there. We were cashing out, and she got in line, and there's one of those big ball cages that had the little bouncy balls in it that went really high. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to go over there and play with those balls while you pay. She's like, okay. I was like 8, 7. I don't know what it was. And I walked over there, and I started taking in what every young boy does. You take the ball, you bounce it, then you shoot it all the way to the top and try to get in the top of the cage, and then you pull out another one. Keep doing that. How many of you have done that? Yes. All right, yeah, all right. So I'm doing that, right? And I turn around thinking, all right, this has been good. Let me go back to my mom. And she wasn't there. She left me at Cubs. Just kidding, she didn't leave me. Right? But I turned around, she wasn't there. I looked in the aisle that I was sure she was at, and she wasn't there. And I started doing one of those things, you know, I was just like, Mom. But I'm trying not to cry. So you're trying to talk, but you can't. I'm like, Mom. You know, and then it just overwhelms me, and I'm finally like, Mom, right? And I start crying. You know, you're such a baby. Yeah, I was. And I just thought, I'm lost. I'm going to grow up in Cubs. You know, it's just going to be a terrible life. And I'm crying out, Mom. And then it happened. This 180-year-old lady grabbed my arm. She wasn't, but I was scared. You know, I looked at her, and she said, come with me. That was it. Not only am I going to be homeless, but now I'm being kidnapped. And my life is just running through my mind, and she's pulling me, and I'm pulling against her. She was a strong lady. And she just pulled me, and she said to my mom, is this yours? I'm pretty sure she said yes. Oh, yeah. And I grabbed Mom, grabbed her arm or leg. I was like, yes, I was back with Mom. But it's a terrible thing to be lost. And as frightened as I was as the young boy in a grocery store, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have far, far, far greater things that you need to stop and think about. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You don't know you're going to heaven. Unfortunately, I can tell you, if you don't get saved, where your destination will be. The Bible describes it as a place called hell. That God doesn't want anyone to go to. That's why God sent his only son to die for you. He paid the sin price so that you could be saved. Call upon him today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But when I look at this guy today and I see Joseph, and I wrote, when he was wondering, I wrote down the word that lost, and then I wrote down the word looking. I mean, you can see Joseph, maybe they're over that hill. And he'd run to the top of that hill and look, but they weren't there. Maybe they're over there behind the trees, and he'd run over there and look on the other side of those trees, but they weren't there. But he was looking, and there's so many people that are living this world looking for something. Maybe you're here today looking for something. That man I mentioned earlier that came and gave God a test drive. He was looking for something. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for something. Looking for joy. Looking for peace. Looking for acceptance. Looking for direction. This world is going to offer a lot of different things and throw it at you. But everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of God, and it leads to destruction every time. Instead, today, run to the Lord today. Yes. You will find whatever you're looking for in God and his word.
Yes.
I wrote down the word lost, I wrote down the word looking, and then I wrote this word down because I looked at this passage. I wrote this word down. Lonely. Lonely. I just saw Joseph wandering about there. He's by himself. And I'm sure, and you can too, I'd imagine Joseph making his way to Shechem thinking, all right, the boys are going to be there, going to see my brothers, and I hope they accept me. I'm sure there's a lot of things running through his mind, right? But I can't wait to find them. And when he gets near Shechem, he's thinking they're right here somewhere. But they weren't. A lot of people keep living their life lonely, thinking, well, I'll find what I'm looking for. It's just over the hill. I'll find. And when they just can't find it, they live a life of loneliness. And a life of loneliness is a terrible life. God doesn't want anyone to live a lonely life. He did not. Because sin and loneliness are always conjoined. That is why the very first time you see the word alone in the Bible, and I know we've preached on this, is after the Lord planted that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which man would have to face temptation, man would make his decisions, but immediately after God made that tree, the next words out of God's mouth were, "It is not good that man should be alone." Let's be honest, most of the times we've made some of our foolish decisions and chosen to sin, we've been sitting by ourselves. We make our decisions, we pull away from everybody, we pull away from God, we pull away from church, we pull away from our peers, we pull away from our friends, and then we find ourselves and we wonder why we feel lonely when we're the ones that pulled around. Because listen to me, God gave all of us God's promise that he would never leave us or forsake us. God has given all of us a physical family, and then God has given all of us a church family. And God wants us to have one, two, or all three of those things working in our life. And with all three of those things, you never have to feel lonely. But if the devil can make you feel like you're alone, just study it out sometime. Elijah the prophet on Mount Carmel, wasn't that an amazing story? 8 verses later, he's sitting there, pulled away from everyone that he knows, telling his servants to go away from him so he could be alone. And he's sitting under a juniper tree, ready to quit. Jonah saw a great revival in Nineveh. But then he pulled out of the city and went and said, made himself feel alone and began to struggle spiritually. If you're wondering today, lost, looking, or feeling alone, God wants to be the answer to those things. If you're lost, be saved today. If you're looking, run to the Lord and his word and surrender to it. If you're lonely today, I promise God is there. I also promise you this, that your church will be there too. Let it. Let the church work and minister in your life. We all need church. And I thank the Lord for our church and the fellowship we can have and the encouragement and the help. I need you. We need each other. God ordained it that way. You see a certain man and you see a confused man, but then this is the real message, you see a concerned man. This man looks at him and asks that question, "What seekest thou? What seekest thou?" And I just get to the message today and say this, why are you here? What are you looking for? There's a lot of people sitting in a lot of different churches today. A lot of different religions. What are they looking for? I wrote down here a couple things that I'll give you some unfortunates, and then I'll give you what the real answer should be. There's a lot of people that go to churches and they sit down looking for laughs. They're looking for a good time. They're looking for comedy routine. I love having a good time. I'm downright silly at times. Last week in our Sunday school class, our young adults game, we spit wads at each other. It was awesome. In Sunday school. It was so great. Wives spitting at their husbands. It was awesome. Just a great time, right? You think I'm kidding. It's a true story. Y'all seen Brother Zach and Hannah were visiting last week. They're sitting in there like, what have we gotten into? Yeah, all right. And we were wearing giant, big, fluffy hats. It was cool, all right? But we had a good time. I enjoy being silly. I enjoy having a good time. Matter of fact, I believe that Christians are the only people in the world to have the right to laugh. We're going to heaven. We ought to be happy, amen? But if all you're looking for is a good time, all you're looking for is someone to tickle your ear, all you're looking for is a sermon time with 25 minutes of good jokes and a nice poem to wrap it up, that's a bad answer. If you're looking for laughs, there's plenty of it out there. Laughs is not the reason we come to church. I wrote down another word, leisure. Some people look at the church like a social club. Some people look at the church like they're like a big cruise ship. Not Not that there's anything wrong with cruise ships, Brother Souza, right? But you know, they look at that, and they look at, you know, like the pastor is like an activities director. And church becomes all about entertainment. And we have a good time. We're going skating next Monday. Some of you will have a great time. Right? I hate skating. But I'll be there. We have family game night in November. We have things, all right, for a purpose to build fellowship, because that's important for a church. That's part. Amen. But if that's the only reason you come to church is looking to have, you know, a good time and a social club and then activities and entertain me, you'll end up hating church. Real church. Because church is not about leisure. Church is not about laughs. Some people come to church looking for love. I've been in church 47 years. I know it's true. Guys will walk into church because they want to find a good girl. And where do you find good girls? The church. Girls, be careful about those wanderers in. You better make sure they're real. Now, I thank the Lord that there's good young men and good young ladies at church. And I think it's a great place to meet your spouse. I met mine at Kazadda Baptist Temple. So, amen. So, it's a great thing, a wonderful thing. But you don't come just to see him or her. And I'm not just talking teenagers. Amen. Y'all staring at me. Yeah, amen. No, we come. That's not why we come, but there's people that do. I'm just telling you life experience. I wrote down a fourth thing. This is a big one. Some people come to church, what they're looking for, it's a matter of liability. In other words, they feel obligated to come to church. Now, I'm glad that anyone would feel obligated to come to church. That means you've been taught. But if the only reason you're coming to church is so that dad and mom won't get upset at you, if the only reason you're coming to church is so pastor don't call you, if the only reason you're coming to church is because you feel the sense of duty because your dad and mom went to church, I'm glad and I want you to keep coming. But I'm just telling you, you're missing what it's all about. Because when church becomes something, some obligatory thing you have to do, check off your list every week, that you endured another church service, you're missing what it's all about. And I know, and it sounds like, you know, you say, well, yeah, you know, you're talking to very, very backslidden people. No, it can happen to any of us. It can happen to us Sunday school teachers. It can happen to pastors. You say, well, that's terrible. It is. But it could happen. You begin to drift away from God, and you go to church, and you preach another message because you have to. God forbid, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. And eventually, pastors get out of the ministry and they quit. I'm just saying it can happen to anyone. That you're just going through routine. Because something I've been teaching on this in Sunday school, guilt, right? That if I don't go, I feel so guilty. And that's good. I mean, something's written on your heart that you know it's right to do. But if you're only coming just because I have to go to church, you're missing what God's trying to do in your life. So it shouldn't be a matter of laughs, and it shouldn't be a matter of leisure, and it shouldn't be a matter of finding love. It shouldn't be a matter of a liability, like an obligation, or it cannot be a matter of just turning over a new leaf, just trying to make yourself feel better. You realize you're kind of miserable, and again, prefacing everything by saying this: if someone walks in these doors just because life's not going good and they're trying to turn over a new leaf and they're going to try the religion thing, I'm glad they're here, and I want them to come in, and I want them to listen. And if someone like that walked in the doors today, I would tell you this: I'm glad you're here, but here's what the real thing you're missing is. And let me tell you what it is today, all right? just making yourself feel better to be able to go to work because you haven't been to church in 20 years, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and I'll go sit in a church pew an hour a week, is not going to really change anything. Start over, a do-over, trying to make myself a better person. I can't make myself a better person, and neither can you. I wrote down one more reason before I get to the real reason. A lot of people come to church because they're looking for laughs or leisure or love or liability, turning over a new leaf. Some people for liberation. Say, what do you mean liberation? It's easy to get religious when you get caught doing something terrible. All of a sudden you got in trouble with the law, and so you think, well, I'm going to go to church so I can tell this judge in 3 months that I'm going to church. I hope they do come to church. I hope they're sitting here. I hope they get right with the Lord. But if your only purpose is to try to get out of trouble, you're missing the real reason. But I'm just telling you, I've seen it all the time. Just in the short time that we've had our Hope ministry, there have been people who have gotten their life in a mess, and they come and sit in Hope for 3 months, and then I'm good now. It's easy to slip again. You better be careful. We get in trouble, so we try to ease our conscience or help make other people feel better about us because we go to church. That's not the purpose of church. That shouldn't be why you're here. Now, if that's what brought you in the door, amen, but listen to my next point, please. Why are you here? What seekest thou? Some for laughs, some for leisure, some for love, some for liability, some to turn over a new leaf, some for liberation. But let me tell you why you should be here. To find what life is all about. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life, and life more abundantly. Can I tell you what we should be here for? Because this is our life. Church is not something that we give an hour to a week. If that's it, you're missing it. Church is not something that I come to, and have a good time for a couple hours a week. That's not what it's all about. Everything that goes on at this church, everything that goes on in our life, everything should be revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. Every decision we make, everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say, everything should be about Him. That in all things He might have the preeminence. Unto Him be glory in the church, world without end, throughout all ages. Amen. Our life should be about bringing glory to the Lord. And everything we do, and yes, we have our jobs, and yes, we have our homes, and yes, we have all of that, but everything that we have is for the glory of God. And everything we do is because we're serving our God, and we want to point other people to the Lord. We come here, why? What are we seeking? I'm seeking joy. I'm seeking life. I'm seeking peace. I'm seeking fellowship. I'm seeking all these things, but it's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what binds us together. That is what brings us that joy. That is what brings us that excitement in life. You see, that this life I'm talking about is eternal life. He has come, and everyone that has put their faith in the Lord and trusted Him as your Savior, praise God, He has given to you eternal life. Not anything temporary, but something that lasts forever. What a blessing. He also gives me life. He gives me an exciting life. I love serving the Lord. There's good days, there's bad days. There's days you cry, there's days you laugh. But through it all, God is good. I mean, this life I live, it's an enjoyable life. It's an exciting life. I mean, I've been blessed to visit different places and see different things and see people get saved and see people's lives get turned around because the Lord's working in their life. It's an exciting life. It's an enjoyable life. I'm happy. I love serving the Lord. I mean, I wake up in the day every day and I think, this is amazing that God has given me another chance to do what I do. It's an enjoyable life. God has given and blessed every one of us in amazing ways, has He not? Our God's amazing. If you're coming, what are you seeking? If you're here today because you're seeking the Lord, he'll be right there. If you're seeking, well, I just want to see what life's all about, jump all in. You see, you can't say with God, I'm half in, half out. The Lord made it very clear, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't world and the Lord. You just can't. So I've been going to church. I haven't found, because you're not all in. Man, you get all in. God will give you what you're looking for. Because he promised that you would have life. That's his words, right? I am come that they might have. He wants you to have life and life more abundant. I did not say everything's going to be peachy. I didn't say there's never a problem. But I can tell you that through every trial and every heartache and every sorrow I've been through, God's presence has been real. His comfort has been amazing. And his delivery has been constant. He always sees us through. So I hope you're coming because you love him. Because if you love him and you're serving him and you're giving him everything, it will always be worth it. And you'll find what you're looking for. What seekest thou? What is it you're looking for in life? Joseph looked at that guy. He knew he's looking. He asked him the question. I had answered a question this week. I hope you will too.